Will you take your Bibles again, please, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And our text for this morning are the verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray for thy help once again. Help for preacher, help for hearer. We ask that thy Holy Spirit might be our teacher this morning, bringing the word of God to our hearts, shining in the gospel light, and we ask that we might know and benefit from the ministry of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, may thy Spirit bring us ever closer to our Saviour this morning. And should there even be one here that would be outside of Christ, that they will enter into the joy everlasting this day through faith in him who is the altogether lovely one. Bless thy word to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I was told the story of a husband and a wife that were celebrating 50 years of marriage, and someone asked them as to the secret of their success. And the husband explained that before they were married, they decided that he would make all the major decisions and that she would make all the minor ones. And so the interviewer asked him, well, how did that work out for you? He says, fantastic. In all of these years of marriage, I've never had to make one major decision. Life's full of decisions. It's full of choices. In fact, if you think even about your time this morning before you came to church, the number of decisions and choices that you had to make. Should I get out of bed or not? That was the first. Do I have time for a shower now or not? What will I wear? What will I eat? Every day we're confronted with choices. Some of the choices that we make on a daily basis are really rather trivial and not very important at all. What colour of socks to put on, what to have for your breakfast. Really things that are relatively insignificant, but we still have to make a choice. There are other decisions that we have to make that are significantly more important. Who should I marry? Where should I live? What career should I choose? What church should I attend? Those have greater significance. Those are things we need to think about and deliberate upon in order to come to what we hope is the best decision. So there are choices that we make that are insignificant. There are choices that we make that are rather more significant. And there is one choice that we have to make that is absolutely critical. And by that I mean our decision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate choice. He's the one who will determine our eternal destiny, and the choice that we make concerning the Savior is absolutely critical. We read in the scripture of one who asked the question, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? That's the decision that each and every one of us have to face up to at some point. What am I going to do with Jesus Christ? And our choice really is one of two. We can accept him as our Savior and become followers of him, or we can ignore him or reject him and have nothing to do with him. But we will have to make a decision. It will be one or the other. And so the Savior draws our attention to these important choices that we have to make, these critical choices, and he illustrates it for us with a story of two gates and two ways, two companies of people and two destinations. And he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Saviour lays out for us certain choices that confront every person that has ever lived. These are choices that we must make. These are choices that are of utmost importance. These are choices that will determine not only how you live your life, it will determine how you die, and it will determine how you and where you will spend eternity. So imagine yourself standing at a crossroads this morning, and you have a decision to make whether to go in one direction or the other. What will your choice be? This will be the same choice that has had to be made all through the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation. Moses, when he was standing before the children of Israel, having brought to them the words of God and his commandments, he said to the children of Israel these words in Deuteronomy 30. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. That's our choice. Blessing or cursing, life or death, choose life. Joshua, when he entered into the promised land, said to the nation of Israel again, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our choice. That's our decision. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel facing the prophets of Baal, and all of the nation had gathered to witness the spectacle, and they saw the prophets of Baal dancing and shouting and cutting themselves, but there was no answer from Baal from heaven. And Elijah makes his sacrifice, builds the altar and sets the wood upon it and puts the offering upon the altar, and then he digs a trench around it and fills it up with water, soaks it, saturates it, calls upon God, and God answers from heaven with fire. And Elijah turns to the people and says, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Here's your decision. It's time to pick a side. It's time to choose. That's what the Savior's saying here in Matthew 7. It's time to choose. Are you going to enter in at the straight gate and follow the narrow way that leads to heaven and to home? Or will you remain on the broad road that leads to a lost eternity? Let's look at these verses this morning. And notice first of all that the Savior gives us only two ways. Only two ways. There is a broad way and there is a narrow way. Now one of the things I really don't like when I'm traveling is getting lost. I don't like getting lost. Now that can be helped if you plan well in advance, if you've got a map, or better still if you've got GPS in your car and you can punch in the location that you want to travel to and it will direct you step by step, turn by turn, where it is that you want to go to. If you don't have any of those things, when you're traveling, you can find then that one wrong turn can leave you far from where you really wanted to be. You've taken a wrong turn, you've got off course, you're going in the wrong direction. Well, the same analogy holds true in spiritual things. Where you find yourself in eternity will be determined by the road that you take here upon earth. And it's impossible to take the wrong road and to find yourself in the right location. You can't take the wrong road and eventually find yourself in heaven. It's impossible. In the same way, it's impossible to take the heavenly road and find yourself in hell. But we must make sure that we are on the right way, the spiritual highway that leads us to heaven and to home. And since you and I are going to leave this world behind one day and continue our eternity in either heaven or hell, it's essential that we know where we are going to. And the Saviour says there are only two ways that we can travel. There is the broad way and there is the narrow way. Only two choices. Now some people might think that that's a very narrow view, and I suppose they're right. But it's what the Saviour taught. And I think we'll go with what the Lord Jesus teaches rather than the opinions of men. You see, some people want to aim for a third course, and a middle road, if you like. They want to travel a middle pathway. And the reason that they want a middle pathway is that they say, well, I'm not good enough for the narrow way, and I'm too good for the broad way. I'm not good enough for heaven, but I'm not bad enough for hell, and so I'll hope for a middle pathway. The Lord Jesus speaks only of two ways. You're either on the broad way, or you're on the narrow way. So what is this broad way? Well, the word broad simply means spacious or accommodative. So when the Lord Jesus speaks about a broad way, he's speaking about a very spacious, a very accommodating road that we can walk on in this life. It carries the idea of a way that is wide open. It's a road on which anything goes. It's broad, it's wide, it's easy to travel, there's plenty of room. It has got few rules, few requirements, few restrictions. On this road you can do whatever you please. You can carry as much baggage of sin as you like. You can live any way that you want. You are the one who calls the shots. You make the rules. You can be the king of the road as you travel the broad way. You can be your own person. You don't have to answer to anyone else. You can live life to the fullest any way that you choose. Go where you want. Be what you want. Do what you want. It's a wide, broad, accommodating road. It is an indulgent road. This is a road on which anything goes, and everyone is welcome. Sin is tolerated, truth is moderated, and acceptance is elevated. And notice what the Saviour says about this road there in verse 13. He says, many there be which go in thereat. This is a road that's widely travelled. This is the road that the vast majority of people are travelling upon, and they love it. This is the road for people who believe in anything or nothing. This is the road for people who believe that one way of life is just as good as another way of life. This is the road for those who think that one religion is just equally as valuable as another religion. That all roads somehow lead to God, if there is a God. So this is a road for those who believe that there is a God, or for those who believe there is not a God. Just come along, enjoy the journey, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You can be as religious as you like, or as irreligious as you like. You can go to church on the broad road, and you can pray and read your Bible. You can do as much of this as you please, or as little of this as you please. This is the broad road. This is the way that encompasses all religions and none. This is the road travelled by the majority. But there's a warning here. If you go by the way of the crowd, Do not expect heaven to be your final destination. Because the strange thing is that while most upon this road think that they're on the high road to heaven, they are really on the low road to hell. Just following the crowd. You know, there's a little animal that's rather quite fascinating. It's the lemon. The lemming. It's a little rodent. And they have a very strange habit. When one begins to go on a journey, the others just follow. Where are we going to? I don't know. Just follow the rest. And they start their journey. And they start traveling in a particular direction. And they go over mountains, and they'll swim across rivers, and they'll go through the marshes, and they'll go through woods and valleys, until eventually they reach the ocean. And you know what they do when they reach the ocean? They jump into the water and they start to swim as far as they can, and then they drown. Just one following another. Reminds me of what most people do today. Just follow the crowd. Do what everyone else does. Live your own life. Please yourself. Go where you want. Do what you want. Live any way you want. And they're looking for the good life. And they're building and they're battling and they're buying and they're trying to get ahead. And all the time just following the crowd on the broad way that leads to destruction. The book of Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs 14 and verse 12 that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends are the ways of death. That's the broad road, the broad way. The Savior said in verse 14, however, that there is a narrow way. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now the word narrow here refers to a press. It is the idea of something that's being constricted. It's the exact opposite of the broad way. The broad way is wide and accommodating, but the narrow way is restrictive and it's difficult. Now that might surprise you, but the Lord Jesus continually emphasized the difficulty in following him. Those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, contrary to popular opinion, it's not an easy way. It's a difficult way. It's a restrictive way. There are things that you'll have to stop doing. There'll be places you'll have to stop going to. There'll be company that you'll have to stop keeping. There are sins that you're going to have to give up. It's a restrictive way. And the Lord Jesus continually emphasized the difficulty in following him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's not easy. That's not the easy way. So there's a contrast between the broad way and the narrow way. The difference between no restrictions and a narrow, restricted life. It's a contrast between go as you please and go as he pleases. You remember what's said of Enoch in the Old Testament there in the book of Genesis and again in Hebrews, that before his translation, before God caught him up and brought him to heaven, that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. You know what Genesis tells us? That he walked with God. He walked that narrow path. What a day Enoch lived. You see what happens just a chapter later in the book of Genesis when God destroys the world because of its wickedness. Those were the days that Enoch lived. Days of sexual permissiveness. Days of awful corruption. Days of social disorder. And yet in that difficult day he walked with God, and he pleased God, and he maintained a distinctive and a separate testimony. It's becoming more and more common for Christians to be accused of being narrow-minded. Hallelujah, I say. For the Lord Jesus says that those who follow him are on a narrow way. It's a narrow way. It's not an easy way. That's not what's promised to us. Whoever said that living a separate, holy life unto the glory of God was an easy way, it's not. But it's the narrow way that leads to heaven. It's the only way that we can live to honor the Lord and be his disciple. It's a life that's lived and surrendered itself unto the glory of God, and we live a life of devotion and dedication and obedience to God. That's the life that God has promised to bless. It sounds tough, but it's worth it in the end. The narrow way. So there are only two ways. And there are only two destinations. All roads must lead somewhere. There used to be a saying that all roads lead to Rome. And that was certainly the case 2,000 years ago. Because everywhere the empire of Rome stretched, it built roads that led back to the capital. Well, all roads lead somewhere. And the same is true of the two roads that the Savior speaks of. They lead somewhere. Therefore, those who are traveling on those roads, there's a destination at the end of it. Now, what's the destination at the end of the broad road? Broad road. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. A place of absolute and total ruin. Quite simply, the broad road finishes up in hell. Those who travel the broad road and continue upon it will eventually find themselves in that awful lake of fire. Does it surprise you that the Lord Jesus talks more about hell than any other person in the Bible? This is the man who spake never as man spake, who again and again in the course of his ministry warned men about that awful place of judgment. He said to the Pharisees on one occasion, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And our Savior described it as an awful place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place of unquenchable fire, a place of memory and remorse, of unsatisfied thirst, of frustration and anger, of unspeakable pain and misery, of an eternal separation from God and his mercy, and the undiluted wrath of God's judgment being poured out upon you. See if you're warned about this place. And those who reject him and his way, they continue to travel on this broad way, it leads to destruction. I read a story the other day of an agnostic, that someone who's not sure whether there's a God or not, and he made an appointment to come and see the local minister. And he came into the pastor's office and he said, "I've got a question for you. It's a rather deep philosophical question." And the pastor said, "Well, what is it?" He asked, "Where is hell?" I don't know what he was expecting. Long theological discussion. Here's the answer he received. Hell is found at the end of a Christless life. That's where hell is found. Hell is found at the end of a Christless life. If your life should somehow end this day, you're ushered out into eternity, where will you go? where will your destination be? Will you be like that rich man in Luke's gospel that closed his eyes in death and then opened them up in hell, being in torments? That's the destination of those who travel the broad way. What of those who travel the narrow way? Well, verse 14 tells us that the narrow way is the way that leads unto life. Not just life upon earth, but everlasting life. Life in the realms of glory. And if hell is a place of horror, then heaven is a place of great happiness and joy. If hell is a place of judgment, then heaven is a place where the everlasting glories of God are to be found. If hell is a place of separation, then heaven is a place of reunion. We've sang about that this morning. And no doubt as we were singing, you're perhaps thinking of some who have gone on before, whose faces you long to see and to meet with again at the Savior's side. What a place of joy. Everything that hell isn't, heaven is. It's the place of all good and all blessing and all joy. It's the absence of all that is sinful and evil. It's going to be everything that the loving heart of a holy God can conceive and an omnipotent hand can prepare. Now, there are some things we do know about heaven. For instance, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, we're told that there will be no tears in heaven. And there will be no pain or sorrow or death and no sin and no night and no curse. And in heaven we will be with the Lord. We will be in the company of our Savior in that glorious city with all of the beauties and blessings that God has prepared for those that love Him. So what if we walk out of step with the world down here? So what if we as Christians are misunderstood and maligned by the world? So what if we have to do without some of the things that the rest of the world indulges in? Will it not be worth it all to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter into the glories of heaven, to be with the Lord for all eternity, to enjoy and be enjoyed in His presence forever? That's the end for those who walk the narrow way. So there are two ways, and there are two destinations, and there are only two gates. A gate, of course, is a way of entrance. There's only two ways of entrance. There's the wide gate in verse 13, and there is the straight gate in verse 14. And the Lord Jesus is making it very clear that there is a decision to be made. Which life are we going to live? Which destiny do we want? Then we must make the right decision, make the right turn in order to follow the right path that leads to the right destination. This is a decision that will impact where you spend eternity. So the Savior commands and admonishes us, choose the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. The wide gate. No real choice needed here. When we're born into this world, this is the gate that we enter in through. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We are already on the broad road. That's the gate we enter in when we're born into this world. And even though a little baby knows nothing of sin, or the choice to follow sin, as that child grows, there comes a time when they understand the difference between right and wrong, and we see very quickly that that child will do things that are sinful because that's their nature. We don't have to teach them to tell lies. We don't have to teach them to steal or to be rude or cheeky or any of those other things. That's our nature. That's how we're born. That's the road that we're traveling on. It's a road that leads away from God. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're on that broad road that leads to a lost eternity. Of course, some people, when they find that out, they're happy with that. They're happy to live a life apart from God. And yet they're confronted with decisions as they make their way through life. Perhaps someone gives them a Bible and they begin to read it, but they dismiss the message. Or they go along to church and they hear the message of the gospel, but it's not for them. They have a friend who witnesses to them and tells them of the transformed life that they have now that they've come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, but doesn't interest them. And every opportunity that God presents to them to turn away from the broad way, to come to the narrow way, to enter in at the straight gate, every opportunity is turned down and ignored. And they continue onward on that broad road with a reckless abandon, without concern about the well-being of their soul or where they will spend eternity. It never crosses their minds. They dismiss it out of hand as something that's not relevant to them. That's fine for other people, but not for me. And they pass by the gate to heaven every time they turn away from the gospel invitation. They're traveling that broad road and they see the signs for the straight and narrow gates. They won't take that junction. They continue straight on. There's a wide gate that we enter in by virtue of our birth into this world and our corruption and sin, but there's a straight gate. A straight gate. So while we are born facing the wide gate, and that's the way that we travel, there is a straight gate. Sometimes it's difficult to discern. Hard to find. Few there be that find it, the Savior said. But when God calls, and calls for us to come to Him for salvation, we must look away from all of the temptations and the false promises of the broad way, and see that it's the narrow way of Christ that promises life and hope and an eternity in heaven, while the broad way that we're traveling only leads to death and to destruction. It's called the straight gate. Straight gate. It's not a word we use very often these days. But in the same way that the way is narrow, so too is the gate. And the gate is so straight, so narrow, so restrictive, that we can only come through it empty-handed. We can't bring anything with us. We have to leave behind our pride and our prestige and our position. This gate is Christ Himself. He is the way to heaven. That's what we read in John 14 this morning, verse 6. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way that leads to heaven. I am the narrow gate through which you must pass to get to the Father. There's no other way. In John 10 and verse 9, the Savior said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ for entrance into heaven, we can't bring anything else with us. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't need our gold or silver. He doesn't require our morals or our materialism in order to put us on the highway to heaven. We cannot pay for our salvation with gold and silver. doesn't want or need any of those things, and yet he wants everything they've got. He takes everything that we have. Christianity is simple, but it's not easy. You don't have to pay for your salvation, but your salvation will cost you everything. And you know why so few will enter in at this narrow gate? It's not that the gate is too small. It's that people are too big. The Lord Jesus said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now I think what he means by that is that we have to come to him as a little child will come to their parents. They have nothing to contribute. They can't pay. They come simply needing and asking and pleading for those gracious gifts from their parents' hands. That's how we are to come to the Lord, as little children, as powerless to help ourselves, as needy in our sins, requiring the gracious hand of God to be extended to us. When we come that way, then we will be received and welcomed and brought into the family and fold of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer put it this way: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." So whatever it is that you're holding on to, whatever it is that's keeping you back from entering in by the straight gate, traveling the narrow way that leads to heaven and to home, whatever it is that's keeping you back, whatever it is, a relationship, a sin, some lustful pleasure, whatever it is it really worth it? Is it really worth it holding on to that thing, knowing that you miss out on the heaven of God? So if you find yourself this morning at this juncture with the decision to make, do I continue on the broad road or do I turn aside to the Lord Jesus Christ and come in repentance and faith and humble myself before him? Can I pass through Christ the narrow gate onto the narrow way that leads to heaven? There are only two gates, the wide and the straight. There are only two ways, the easy and the difficult. There are only two crowds, the many and the few. There are only two destinations, heaven or hell. What will be your decision this morning? Which way will you travel? Which way will you go? The Lord Jesus reminds us, the end of verse 14, that there are only few that find it, few that travel the heavenly way. That's evident by the number of people you find in churches this morning compared to the number of people that aren't. Most people aren't even looking for what God offers to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're so filled with themselves, so filled with what the world has to offer, that they have no time for what God is offering them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. But what about your mind? Have you been enlightened and awakened? You've been brought to see that there is a way that leads to heaven, and there's a way that leads away from it. I trust that you're on that narrow way this morning, that you've come through the gate, the Lord Jesus Christ, that heaven is your destination. And if it's not, can I offer to you the same options that Joshua offered the people there in the book, bearing his name: "Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose your destination. Choose your direction. And realize that it's a decision that has an impact for eternity. Let's bow and pray. Gracious Father, we ask that Thou would continue to speak on to the hearts of all that gather here, confirming with Thy people that they're truly on that narrow path, that they are followers of the Lamb, that heaven is to be their final home and their everlasting reward. Comfort Thy people with that great thought, with that great encouragement. But if there be one here this morning that's not saved, that's not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're still upon that broad way that leads to a lost eternity, Lord, help them to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. He's the door by which we must enter, that they might come to Him today. May they know that calling of Thy Spirit to faith in Jesus Christ. May they leave the broad way behind and become a follower of the Lamb of God. These things we ask and pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.